Good evening. This is the evening sermon for Bellingham URC on March 22nd, 2020. Let's start by taking a moment to pray to our God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which brings good news to us. We pray that you would work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit to help us believe the good news in the Bible. Unite us more and more to Christ, and please make us more and more like Christ, because our world needs Christ. We ask these things in our Savior Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please turn your Bible to Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. And please give your full attention to this reading, as this is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of our God. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, do you have a healthy mind? Does your way of thinking fill you with peace, joy, and a sense of security? Or does it fill you with anxiety, despair, and hopelessness? In our scripture text this evening, the Apostle Paul connects our thinking with our walking. The life of your mind is directly connected to the way you live. Sadly, today, many people live foolishly and wickedly. Why is that? Well, in the beginning, God made man good and in his own image, in true righteousness and holiness. But man fell into sin, and with his fall, the whole creation was subjected to futility. Since then, the world has been subject to bad thinking, which leads to bad living. And friends, even we as Christians often struggle with this. Let me ask you, what is it that fills your mind today? Is it anxiety over the coronavirus, that you might get sick, or that the hospitals will be overrun? Is it fear that the government will respond by shutting down your place of work, leaving you unable to provide for your family? Is it a concern that the economy will tank, taking with it your retirement savings? Or perhaps you are terrified that some of our freedoms, which have been suspended, will not be restored. Please understand, I do not mean to minimize these things. They are important. Your life, your health, your job, your freedom, our national security, these things matter. In this time, we certainly should be praying continually that our God will be merciful to us and to our nation. But I would encourage you to keep everything in perspective. Look, if these concerns are entirely dominating your thinking and your life, then you are thinking and living wrongly and sinfully. As Christians, whatever is happening to us today should not define our lives or our thoughts nearly so much as something that happened 2,000 years ago. And what is it that happened then? God came down from heaven. The Son of God took on human flesh, was born to a young virgin named Mary, placed in a manger and given the name Jesus. Jesus went on to live a perfect, sinless life. Although he was righteous, he was condemned to suffer and die on a Roman cross to pay for the sins of all his people, everyone who would trust in him. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where he is presently seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling over all things. What's more, at Pentecost, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit down from heaven to indwell us, his people, to unite us more and more to our blessed Savior, to equip us for the work of ministry, and to change our lives forever. Friends, this must be our greatest defining reality, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And for all the things that may be changing so quickly all around you, even on a daily basis, this is something that can never change. Whatever tomorrow brings, you can be certain that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yes, as Christians, our lives must be defined by faith in this truth. We need to actually believe what God has revealed to us in his Word. And when you believe, your life will look different. And the world will take notice. In Romans 8:19, Paul writes that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you. Believer, in Christ, you are a son or daughter of God. Believe this. And also prove that you believe it by living according to your new identity in him. What does this look like? Well, as we turn to our scripture text, Paul actually begins by describing how we should not live or think. Verse 17 says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." Christians, we are not to live like unbelievers. Our living and thinking must look drastically different from theirs. And what's the problem with their thinking? Well, first, Paul describes the futility of their minds. Something that is futile is useless, pointless. In other words, it doesn't work. For example, unbelievers think money and possessions will make them happy. So they do their best to hoard up as much cash as they can. They buy all sorts of luxuries, fancy trucks and cars and boats and houses. But do these things work? Do such people find the happiness they're looking for in the things of earth? Maybe for a time, but it doesn't last. In our consumer culture, people always seem to be moving on to the next great thing. Their thinking is futile. They are ignorant. Their understanding is darkened. Their eyes have not been enlightened to the fact that nothing can possibly satisfy them or truly fulfill their lives apart from Jesus Christ. And therefore, as Paul writes, so long as they remain in this ignorance, they are alienated from the life of God. Because Jesus Christ alone is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And no one will ever be truly satisfied without him. But second, what makes this ignorance all the more dangerous is that it is a willing ignorance. Romans 1 verses 21 and 22 say, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And we see that here as well. Look at the end of verse 18. Paul describes their condition as a hardness of heart. He continues, "They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." You see, by nature, fallen human beings are willfully living in a state of spiritual sickness, death, and self-destruction. Notice especially what it says in that last line. They are greedy to practice every kind of impurity. This is hedonism. People live for their own pleasure, and they don't care what they must do or who they must hurt in order to get it. They don't care that by their actions they are rebelling against God and hurting their fellow man. Ultimately, a worldly way of thinking leads to a recklessly, selfishly sinful life. Now remember the context. In verse 17, Paul is urging us to no longer walk in this way as the Gentiles do. But is this really how we are tempted to live? Is our thinking ever off base? Are we ever tempted to openly defy God and to sin boldly? Aren't we past that by now? Oh no, we still struggle, don't we? In fact, in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul described his ongoing struggle against sin, writing, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do the thing I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Friends, as the hymn writer puts it, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. This is why we need the constant washing of water with the Word. This is why we need the Word ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, the officers Paul described back in verse 11 of this chapter. We need the Word because we need to believe differently than the world. We need the Word because we need to walk by faith and not by sight. We need the Word because it is only by truly believing the Word that we can ever actually live a new life. So we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And Paul explains why in verse 20, because that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So why should you not live in the old way? Because of who you are. You are a new person. You are new creation. And how has this happened? Look at verse 20. Here Paul lists a string of three verbs. First, you learned Christ. Second, in verse 21, you heard Christ. The word "of" is not in the original Greek. You heard Christ. And third, you were taught in him. You were taught in Christ. Now, I found John Stott's analysis of these verbs interesting. He points out that these three verbs form the imagery of a school. And what are we learning in this school? We are learning Christ. Another commentator pointed out how these three verbs teach us that Jesus Christ is the subject. He is the teacher. And he is the atmosphere of the believer's instruction. You learned Christ. You heard Christ. And you were taught in Christ because you are truly united to him by faith. You are in him and he is in you. So Paul is saying that for the believer, all of life is learning about Jesus Christ, listening to Jesus Christ, and living in Jesus Christ. As believers, we must constantly be growing in knowledge of Christ, in trusting in Christ, and in loving Christ. In fact, we could simply say, as Paul does elsewhere, that to live is Christ. Is that true of you? Can you say that? Can you say, "For to me, to live is Christ"? You see, brothers and sisters, Christ does not only provide the forgiveness of our sins, he also provides a new life and a new order to our lives. Christ makes us to be born again. He gives us his own life, and in doing so, he brings us into the household of God, freeing us to live in an entirely new way. Of course, our belonging to God's household means we must strive to put off the old self, to put off the old man, to leave that behind. Boys and girls, have you ever played in the mud or the sand and gotten your clothes or your boots completely filthy? You finish playing, you head home, and just as you're about to walk in the door, dripping with mud, your mother says to you, "No way, Jose, not in this house. You take that all off before you come in here." That is the picture Paul is using here. That dirty, disgusting clothing is not appropriate for a member of the household of God. It is not fitting for a child of God to be clothed with a mindset and a lifestyle devoted to sin, devoted to the ways of the world. Of course, as one pastor points out, the problem is the old garments are so comfortable and natural. Not only that, many of us have worn them so long that they naturally drape over us and we scarcely know we are wearing them until the Holy Spirit reproves us. This is why we need the constant ministry of the Word and Spirit in our lives. If you're struggling with lust, that's something you need to fight against daily. Arm yourself for the fight with scripture verses like Job 31 verse 1. "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" If you're greedy, you need to make war on those desires. So memorize Luke 12, 15. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. If you easily get angry or are rude, unkind, prideful, bitter, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Fight to put off those attitudes and the rotten behavior that comes with them. And keep fighting the good fight of the faith. Of course, this is not something that only happens once. We must strive to put off our sins every single day. So let us put off the old self. And as Paul writes here in verse 23, seek to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Most of you probably know that R.C. Sproul's radio program is called Renewing Your Mind. And this is a renewal we need every single day because, like Paul, the remnants of sin still cling to us. We need our minds and hearts to be filled with a cleansing flood of sound doctrine and holy scripture. To this end, we should be reading and studying God's word and praying desperately that the Holy Spirit will continue his renewing work in us. R.C. Sproul writes, "It is important to understand that truth is absolutely vital and essential to new life. It is truth that changes our behavior. A sober, clear understanding of God's truth is what changes lives." Paul confirms this in Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And how can we know God's will? Well, the Bible is the very Word of God. In the Bible, we have God's own thoughts, God's desires put to paper. This is our weapon. We can fight against our foolish thoughts, our worldly thoughts, by filling our minds with God's perfect thoughts. And when you do this, it will change your life. Not only will you put an end to foolish thinking and behavior, but you will begin to live according to wisdom. A sanctified life. You will not only put off the old, but also put on the new. This putting off and putting on does not only mean that you must repent of losing your temper with your children. It's not only about putting off that sin and apologizing to them. It's also about putting on love and patience. You are not done with your repentance until that has happened. And that is the sort of powerful work the Holy Spirit intends to do in us by feeding us with the Word of God. And the good news for us is that in Christ we are no longer prisoners of the old order, the old way of thinking and living. In Christ you belong to a new reality. Yes, you will have to continually resist the influences of your old life, but you are no longer enslaved. You are no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. You are a new person if you have put your trust in Him. You no longer belong to the kingdom of this world, which is decaying and passing away. but you belong to the eternal kingdom of God. Believer, this means that you are not destined to follow the world in its reckless downward spiral into sin and death. You are predestined to walk as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this must be the defining reality of your life. We have been recreated by God in Christ. We are new people. So put off your old garments of sin and death, and put on your new garments. Be clothed in the garments of adoption as sons. Put on your royal robes as children of the King of Kings. Clothe yourselves with the white garments of righteousness given to you freely through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God. And let his light shine through you. Church, the world needs the light that Christ alone can bring into their lives, and they need his light right now. You are Christ's body. You are his hands and feet. And so in union with Christ, bless your neighbors and show them the rich, rich love of our God. There is no greater time for us to learn by experience that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Now is your time to shine, believer. So let your light shine before others, so that everyone may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. For he has clothed you with Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the comfort we may have in knowing that you are with us. You are our great provider. You are the great physician. You are our almighty, entirely sovereign God. There is nothing outside of your control. Please bless us today and this week. Use us to bring healing where there is pain, to bring peace where there is anxiety, and to bring joy where there is sadness. Cause the light of Christ, our Savior, to fill our hearts and minds and shine brightly through our actions. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.